Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
There is more and more tension between China and the US, and now it's expanding onto another front, to the stock markets. Even though some investors took some money off the table, stocks at the New York Stock Exchange and the Nasdaq are going higher. Will we see another pullback, and which historic day is tomorrow? We will talk about it right now. This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Idine Boumidi. He's the head of markets at IG. And the Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 30 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. So good to see you both, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Manuel.
Peter, today it's Memorial Day in the US, a market holiday, but tomorrow is a very important day, May 26th. It's a historic day because traders can go back to work, back to the New York Stock Exchange. Can you also already go back to work?
So, yes, I can. I unfortunately will be not part of the first tranche of people allowed back onto the floor. They are after 2 months of closing, which is historic. In the 100 plus year history of the New York Stock Exchange, after a very intense negotiation with doctors and the government and everyone involved in the higher ups at the New York Stock Exchange and ICE, they've decided to reopen the Stock Exchange. Super important worldwide, symbolically, one of the places that basically gives confidence to the investment community all over the world. And for us, obviously, it's a place we love to go and to make a living. But initially, in order for this to work correctly and to basically be given one important shot to get it done right in an economy that's trying to open up in a city that's still in shelter in place, we've been given a small opportunity. Each firm is allowed only 30% of their team on the floor. The market makers, the DMMs, will not be allowed on the floor. They will be trading remotely. So they've given people who have not been able to trade remotely back onto the floor to give them an opportunity once again to make a living and put food on the table of their families. So it's a thin skeleton crew will be allowed back on Monday, but obviously there'll be a lot of fanfare. There'll be a lot of support and courageous moves by brokers to go back in the light of all that's going on, but it's been able to be done safely, orderly, and we look forward to going back to work on Tuesday.
And do you know when you can go back, or do you have to play it by ear?
So for me, my firm was allowed six employees to go back on. And as you know, my firm is an umbrella company where each person has their own business underneath the larger firm. So I am a partner with my son on my trading model. And so then basically in the first tranche, he will go. He's actually a little better prepared to do it alone without me than for me to be alone. I also still have some residual problems from the virus. So to get my energy back up, I'm hoping it won't be more than 2 weeks, but it could be as much as a month before they expand the availability of a larger footprint of brokers on the floor.
Expand is the right question for me from a technical perspective speaking. The S&P 500, we see a small relief, and now we are getting to a really important resistance, Peter, which is actually we are trading between the 68 Fibonacci retracement and the 200 moving average. So do we will stuck here in a trading range, or are we moving higher? This is a really important question. For me, I don't think so.
So I think it's fascinating how technicals work, right? It's incredible how we'll reach levels, and no matter what's going on, even in the event of the crisis and all that's going on this evolving story on a day-to-day basis, we basically can go within these numbers, you know, Fibonacci and the 229.75 level in the S&P 500. And we've been trading at that level tightly, right? Even those few days that we had sell-offs due to the negative news that came out of the out of Moderna, that one day, which implied the fragility of the market per se, we still retraced right back up. So there's plenty of money being put to work. As we know, I think we discussed it last time, that the stimulus package is just fuel on this fire. And that's kind of why the market is trading at a dislocation to the economy. So what is going to be the next move? I don't know. I think this story is evolving on a day-to-day basis. There are so many unknowns right now. As the economies start to open up, we're going to see, is it going to work or not? As airlines lift restrictions, we're noticing that only 10% increase in capacity flying is going on. So we're hoping that by opening the New York Stock Exchange, which has always been sort of a symbolic level sense of confidence for the investment community and the United States and the world as far as that goes, hopefully this will give a little bit of a catalyst to everyone to get some confidence to go back to work. I'm not sure that's going to work. As more cities like Florida and countries, states, like Florida and Georgia reopen, it may be easier for people to get up and go to the beach and go have a drink at the bar on the beach, but I'm not sure that people are going to really go back to life as they had it. So as far as it goes from the investment point of view, you know what? I believe the market is fragile. I think it may stay in this trading range until we get some significant positive news would be from whether it be Gilead or Moderna or whichever company is that comes up with a treatment for the virus. And or the negative side would be that we do have a spike, which we've already seen somewhat around the world when reopening, that this virus is not contained yet. And that would be the negative side. So there are two narratives, very big narratives that could be catalysts in the market for the upside or the downside. You ask the question, what will be the catalyst to break it above the 200-day moving average? That would be probably a treatment or a drug that would come out that would really give people confidence they could go back to work. Or on the downside, that we see this economy completely unravel and the reality of 40 million unemployed workers and people not willing to get back into society.
Peter, we see legendary Warren Buffett, and he is more into cash than into stocks at the moment. So he didn't really buy stocks in the crisis, and he even sold his stake of Goldman Sachs or most of it. Do you think that he already sees the next crisis, maybe a bank crisis, or is he just more into the cash side?
Okay, so in my opinion, I believe cash is king at the moment. I'm a firm believer in that. I I'm not an investor, right? And you know I've never owned a share of stock in my life. So I'm just trying to gauge it from my forensic analysis of what's going on. And yes, the market has rebounded along with Mr. Fibonacci's predictions of 68%. But I think it's a very fragile market. And I would recommend, and I don't recommend or advise people what to do. But in my opinion, this market could, as it did last week, you know, it goes up 1,000 points. 1,000 points is the old 100 points, right? Orange is the new black. We're running in new rules here. So we saw the market rally 1,000 points last Monday on positive news coming out of some drugs and the feeling that we've got some irrational euphoria going on. But then the minute there was even such a twinkle of negative news about Moderna, the market fell down 500 points in a moment. So net to me, cash is the place to be at the moment. I would rather not try and catch a falling knife, because I think that the market will catch up with the economy, because we're about to confront 6 months to a year of 40 million plus unemployed Americans, the effect of the supply chain throughout the world, and the reality of what's really going on: airlines, theme parks, movie theaters, sports arenas, all that. Okay, so I think that's more important. I would rather wait and buy the market at S&P 3500 and Dow 30,000 when a lot of the bad news is out and we're really rebuilding the economy and it has the fuel without the challenges and obstacles ahead, than to sit here and try and decide, this rally has been unbelievable. I don't want to be the fear of missing out guy. And when the bad news finally hits, we retrace the lows of March 23.
Cash is king is a good bridge to go over to gold, actually. The gold old JP Morgan said, gold is money, everything else is credit. So we see, even if cash is king, what about gold? Gold and silver are really trending. And what I see what I also said on Twitter in my trading ideas, the bullish triangle that we can see in silver right now has pushed to the first target and second target still active around about $20. But what do you see in silver and gold? Are we, we say gold is the money, like JP Morgan said.
You know what? Commodities are really not my wheelhouse, so I don't really want to make a deep opinion about it. I think gold is a wonderful hedge against the market going down. I would rather be trading the VIX against the as a hedge against it. I do agree, though. I mean, commodities per se in a market like this, no matter what, will be a great hedge to a market that sells off deeply. But you know, from an investment point of view, yes, that's probably a better bet. From a trader's point of view, I would be using the VIX as a hedge against my position if I was a day trader.
Thanks. Secondly, to gold as a safe haven. We have seen Bitcoin the last, from mid-March, 100% performance. From year-to-day performance, we are ranking number one before gold and before US 10-year treasuries. I mean, I'm not a friend saying that gold, that Bitcoin is the safe haven of the future, but we see tremendous momentum and bullish movements right now, reaching a resistance. But what do you think about Bitcoin, actually, Peter?
You know what? I've never been a fan of it. It's too abstract for me, and I don't really believe in things that I can't put my hands on. But what I've recently seen that I find significant is the fear of holding money, cash per se, in a viral environment, I think, will definitely turn us towards digital currencies. And I'm seeing also, I was watching a story the other day, there's a company coming out of Nigeria called Paga, and they are basically a digital banking platform for the unbanked and underbanked, right? And they're seeing a huge rise from 10 million customers to 50 million customers in environments like West Africa, which is one of the commodity-based nations of the world, and basically a huge commerce environment. So while I've never found any solace in the idea of Bitcoin, I don't find it trustworthy. I think at some level, at this point, in the eyes of the virus, which is not going away, I think digital currency could be the way of the future in a big way. And Bitcoin would be obviously the most preemptive one if we don't find another one.
Right.
At the moment, a lot of people invest in tech stocks. So the big names, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, they are almost on all-time highs, even after the crisis. What is your opinion on that? Is that also the future, or is there another trend coming up for the next decade? Maybe some green investments? What do you believe?
So I am a big fan of green investments. I found that before the crisis came out, I had started to focus on it because just people that I was in discussion with had brought it up to me. And so I focused on it, right? And ESG, right, is that what the term they use? And we found that BlackRock, you know, what we saw at the end of February, probably a little bit in the event of the virus coming through, is that so many of these big, large funds were basically, whether they were having a younger audience get involved in putting money to work, or whether they've decided that the way of the future is to be involved in sustainability stocks and green stocks, that they've actually transferred a lot of their money into green and sustainable companies. So I really believe that. I think obviously climate is obviously a huge subject that should be brought up. I think sustainability, so it's a great question and there's so much to say about it. We could probably have a whole full discussion about it. You know, I'll go back to the beginning of your question. You know, I don't think that the tech stocks have that much exposure negatively to the virus because so many of them are really involved in us being at home, buying online, watching and streaming at home. They're so pandemic friendly, if you want to use an odd term. So, and I think that's probably one of the reasons they're the high flyers. So people are finding value in them and investing in them, and they seem safer in the long term. Stocks with big exposure to China per se and to basic economies are the ones that still haven't been hit. As we've said, the market is trading right off highs. But I believe if the market starts to catch up with the economy, that will be the negatively hit sector. But I love the fact that you brought up the green sector and sustainability. And I think we're going to see a huge move into that as people's consciousness about the world, about climate change, and about investability of those companies and responsible investing is going to be the way of the future, I believe.
Let's move to crude oil, actually. We see also there a small relief right now. And I have seen of actually, we also hit it my second bullish triangle target in oil yesterday, $43, is also for me a resistance right now. Big ETFs are restricted or they are forced to roll over to specific times. So we didn't see any negative price or negative future in the rollover last week. So what do you think? Are we reaching a resistance or is that the first step to go back to normality?
You know, I think it's important to notice how the market sold off it March 23, selling down. It was fast and furious, deep leak, very quick oversold situation. As we then saw it go along with that oil trade when oil went negative, right? I think it's important to note that both situations were fueled by overleveraged and bad trades in a big way. So we maybe ended up going down 11,800 points on the Dow in an unnatural fashion, not normal, even relative to the news that happened. And as we saw oil trade the way it did, it was obviously related to that, to the option trade and to some bad players in the game. So I think we are heading back towards a level in oil that makes more sense. I would think it's a resistance level because at the bottom line, it will really, at this point, I think it less depends on what goes on between Saudi Arabia and Russia, who I think are bad actors and manipulators within the market. I just have to say, it feels like it to me, as long as perhaps our own administration. But I think that what will put restrictions on oil getting back to any other reasonable levels, although 43 is a reasonable level relative to where it was a few weeks ago, it brings back the fracking industry in the U.S. to a profitable level. It brings back oil to break even as far as North Sea and other oil producing countries. I think the consumerism of it all, the demand, right? If we are maintained at a 20 to 30% for oil, in airlines, okay, and in ocean liners and all, basically a demand, sorry, my brain is a little woozy. As long as the demand is limited by this social distancing and restricted capacity in every industry that demands the use of oil, I think we're seeing a level here where unless we see the world have this incredible epiphany and that everyone getting back on oil ships and everyone is getting back in their cars and traveling and everyone is getting back on planes, I think that's where we're running into the challenges there. The demand for oil will be the obstacle and the headwind in that marketplace. And I guess you know better than I at that point, but I would imagine this is probably where we're seeing that top.
Top. Totally agree with you.
What about the political problems at the moment, the tension between China and the US? Do you think they will even rise?
You know what? It's unbelievable. I think it's important to analyze, you know, I don't want us to get too political, even though I would love to, but let's just watch the last 2 years and the relationship with the United States and China as far as the whole trade wars and tariffs, right? And that was really the fuel of volatility. I will say it's potentially, I would not say it's the fuel of the market rally that we saw leading into the February 12th highs of the market, but I surely will say that it was the fuel and the catalyst of the volatility. Because we saw, and I'm a firm believer that somebody's trading this market, the powers that be could be trading these crazy little headlines, because you would see us making a deal with China one day and the market rallying 1,000 points. And then, you know, somebody who's very powerful in the world wakes up the next day and decides they don't like China and the market goes down 1,000 points. So that the dynamic of the US-China relationship for the last 2 years has been a bit of a quandary to me. To begin with, I think it's a bit of a manipulated situation, but yet again, we're seeing it here. Who benefits from this? From this you know, unnatural relationship that we're seeing here with China? You know, are we now going to start blaming them for the pandemic? Are we presenting a situation, who's going to benefit from this altercation between the US and China? I really don't know, you know. I'm not going to lay blame on it. You know, there are sides of the story that look like we probably should have known about this a little earlier. And I think there's blame to go all around. So I would think it's really, you know, I mentioned it, I think, last time. Never before in history have we had a situation where not one soul on earth was not affected by this virus. So I think it's important that we all come together and not look to the past and try and blame people, but look to the future as a world and as a globe, a global economy, and try to come to some level of agreement that it's going to, that this, whether the market goes up or down, the economies of the world are really fragile now. And if we don't come together in this in every possible way, from economy, commodities and oil to stocks and earnings and reopening the economies in a big way, whether it's information shared, whether it's medicines shared and vaccines or whatever it is, that if we don't come together and put all that partisanship aside and argument aside, the world is going to take a lot longer to get back on track.
Trade dispute. One really small example from a stock perspective. TMC, a Taiwanese company which is manufacturing chips even for Huawei and also for Apple, is actually right now stuck in the middle. Their love is to produce for everybody. They don't want to have any dispute. So their cash flow will be higher if they can transport to US and China. But now they have a kind of diplomatic conflict. Of course, they will open a branch also in the US to make it 50-50. So how could, this is just one example, how there are a lot of companies that are stuck in the middle because of that. So how could they in the future be, yeah, get rid of this problem and be safe with both? It's I think for those CEOs, it's really difficult to handle.
Let's look at what happened yesterday, that the Congress or Senate passed a law forcing the delisting of Chinese companies in the United States stock markets. You know, I don't think we're going to see any kind of safe bet relative to trade wars about the questions you're talking about, or about any company like that, until we see a change of the administration in the United States. I believe and I'm gonna get political for a moment. I believe that our administration's agenda is not based on what's really good for us or our trading partners. I think it's based on ego and narcissism. And I think that we've seen that come to fruition on any given day when on the drop of a dime, where our administration decides to start blaming somebody or changing the relationship as to best suit them, right? And not to think of us as a trading partner and not to globally. Whether it's the story between Russia and Saudi Arabia and our relationships there and how it relates to oil and how we've treated this virus in a sort of irresponsible way, as far as disseminating information and really making testing available, and how we on a dime will change our relationship and change our opinion of some of our largest trading partners, that a small decision can impact the economy and the earnings of huge global corporations in a huge way over a bad mood, over a bit of an ego and all of that. So to be perfectly honest, and I've seen that our administration's mood and change on a dime. So I don't think there are any sure bets in describing the situation you describe. And then hopefully, in my opinion, to get political for a moment, I would hope that the administration has changed in November and you'll have somebody who is running our country that has a little more of a globist view and a little more of a rational interpretation of economies and relationships from one country to another, trading partners and the relationships with corporations that are based on benefiting us and them, and not as much as how somebody, you know, pisses you off about something. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Peter, thank you so much for your insights and your honest words. And yeah, maybe if you want to be the next candidate, we would vote for you, I guess.
I would not be interested at all. I'm sorry. But I'm hoping somehow that somebody will come in that will, you know, as I just described there for a moment, I think it's important to note that we need to come together as a globe and put aside, at least for the moment. I know that trading partner problems are a big deal, and I know that borders are a big deal and politics is a big deal. But at this point, I really believe that it's how we handle a crisis that will make the difference now going forward on whether this takes a year or two to get over, or whether we're going to be paying the price for this pandemic for 10 years to come. So I beg the world to come together on this, and I would beg for a transfer of administrations, and I'm hoping for the best.
Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, thank you so much. And Salah Edine Boumidi, Head of Markets at IG. Guys, very much I appreciate your time. Thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk. For more information, go on IG.com. Thank you for today. I'm Manuel Koch. See you next time.